I have a feeling we'll be hearing from him some more. Amen. Awesome. Session 10, Mike did session 9, probably didn't realize it was session 9, but it was Romans chapter 4, correct? And Romans chapter 4 and 5 being really the meat of the gospel. Before I get started, I just want to mention it was something that I was familiar with and experienced myself, and maybe you did in a certain degree, but I was talking to a friend who's been coming to a few services here, and he was in ministry for like 10 years, and he had stepped down. And he says, you know, I got tired of performing. And I got tired of trying to get somebody's approval. You know, that's what I love about the gospel of grace. And he's starting to hear, he says, it's almost like I'm starting over. I said, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. So just to encourage him to just rest and say, he loves you. He loves you. Amen. Isn't it wonderful as we begin to be comfortable in our own skin, meaning spiritually, that he loves us? And then talking to another person a little bit later on who wasn't quite there, still hanging on, still, I don't know if it's the pride of religion or whatever, but still trying to figure out symbolisms and visions and dreams and things that really are taking this individual, taking her away from the simplicity of the gospel. That's what the devil loves to make things complex. Somehow you'll figure it out. Maybe you can fast enough, maybe you can pray enough, maybe you can read the word of God enough, and then something will open up, and all of a sudden something will open, a Pandora's box. But you know what? It never opens. It you're continuing to chase it, chase something. You never arrive to rest. And rest, it's amazing that by faith, being justified by faith, we'll read it, that blows my mind. This faith, that measure of faith that we've all been, that faith is as real as you and I, something that God's placed within us that grows. Being justified by faith, being changed by faith, God leading and guiding us by faith, it's wonderful, but it takes some time, and it can take some relearning, because religion, on the religious end, it's never about faith and trust. It's always about dues and performance and somehow trying to see it work itself out instead of trusting and simply believing in him. Amen? So talking with that gentleman and just praying for him that God's going to do something miraculous in him and his family's life in Jesus' name. And the gal I was talking to as well. Wherever, you know, that she'll come to that point. The simplicity of the gospel. Amen? We are in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So I believe that the scriptures that I'll be reading in tonight will be, well, the Romans 5 itself will be in the New King James Version tonight. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Some of you are saying, yeah, I know my wife is. So just real quick, chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Remember way back when we started in chapter 1? For I am not, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I think about, why did Paul mention that? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So we know that in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 22 and 23 is a little part of the answer. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, right? But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. So he says, I'm not ashamed of this message of being justified by faith. I've got the Jews saying, no way, it's still by the law. And even those, many of those who came into the fullness of accepting Jesus as their Messiah were still trenched in the law. You know, you're talking about centuries, heritage of the law. How difficult would that be to give up, to come out of that? I'm not even sure, and I don't mean to, I'm not being preaching heresy. I'm not even sure the original 11 apostles How much did they come out of that? I'm just saying. Because when Paul, right, when Paul in Galatians had his revelation, I've said over and over again, the revelation of the gospel of grace, the Pauline gospel, he went up to Jerusalem to say, as we read in Galatians, saying, hey, this is what God has shown me. Are you okay with this? I'm just not going to launch out on this. Are you guys okay with this? And that's when they said, okay, you go to the Gentiles. We're going to stick with the Jews. Amen. And so he's saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel I preach. It is the power of God into salvation. Amen. By faith. By faith. Amen. When you start walking in faith, you start getting comfortable in faith. It can take some time to get comfortable in being, realizing and believing that you're justified by faith through grace. Amen. It can take some time. The enemy doesn't want you to go there. What you believe through the decades doesn't allow you to go there. The tapes in your mind, the things in your soul realm. That's why so much of the time you got to hear that gospel of grace over and over and over and over again to assure your own conscience that you're on the right track. Because after all, it's your conscience that says, it's too good to be true. I just don't see how it could be this simple. Amen. Paul mentions the awful consequence of those who oppose the truth in Romans chapter 1. They suppress the truth. You know, also, did you know if you don't understand or you don't walk in grace and you're walking in performance, you don't realize you're actually suppressing the truth by works, by the pride of what I accomplish. The law or some type of law, even mixed with Christianity, is suppressing the truth. And when you suppress the truth, what it does is you're actually allowing yourself to operate under the law, be under the law, and then the works of the law or the sin of the law actually manifest themselves in your life. Then you find that you're maintenance. We got to be in a maintenance schedule here. Boy, maintenance schedules get exhausting. Did I read enough? Did I do enough? Does this person approve of me? Etc. All of those things being part of what works under the old system cannot justify or bring peace to our souls. Amen? Amen. Chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in the manner in which you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. If there's anything that I've realized over the last few weeks in teaching, and even on Sunday morning and Wednesday, that when we walk in judgment of others, we're actually releasing the power of the law in our own lives. Because Paul says that you that judge others, you're doing the same thing. You're actually walking or allowing the power of the law to operate in your life. Grace is not being manifested in your souls and in your heart when you're walking in condemning others. Amen. If anything, God, show me about that. Doesn't mean you just let people run rampant or wild. I'm not saying that. But there's this thing of judging others we don't realize until you realize it. Until you see it. In the last month, 6 weeks, by my own preaching and studying, I've seen it. Say, wow, Lord. James chapter 2, judging others, releasing the power of sin and the law in those believers' lives. I don't want any part of that. Amen. Amen. Chapter 3 says, Paul talks about the Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. He starts out saying, the Jews, God gave them the law, gave them circumcision, but when it all comes down to the nitty-gritty, we're all under sin. Chapter 3. Chapter 4, which, yes, last week Mike taught. Abraham was credited with righteousness by faith, and this before God gave the law. Amen? Credited righteousness. Gave him righteousness. So now we're on Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Just let this sink in your heart again. Just allow this to the best of your ability. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, don't remove any filters. Lord, remove filters from my heart, from my mind. Father, let me hear the simplicity, the pure gospel in my heart. Let it refresh my heart tonight. Let it encourage my heart tonight. Amen? Amen. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified meaning in the Greek, innocent, free, righteous. We're getting justified. We're free. We're righteous in his sight. Justified by faith. And because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. You think about it, it said, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ because we've been justified. If you know you've been justified, if you know you're free, I'm not saying that there's not struggles. I'm not saying that there's not maturities. I'm not even saying that you might not be in the battle of your life, but you are still justified freely by his grace. You are still pure in his sight by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins were nailed to the cross. And because if we believe that and understand that, we have peace with him. If we don't have peace with him because we don't have confidence in what he's accomplished in our lives through the cross, what do we have then? Well, what is the opposite of peace? Think of those things that are opposite of peace. It's the antonyms of peace are hate, discord, agitation. Ever struggle with agitation? Frustration, worry, distress, disharmony, disagreement. Those things that are opposite of peace. When I have those things starting to bubble up or in my heart, in my soul, I stop and say, okay, what do I need to do differently here? I know he doesn't need to do anything differently. Lord, what is going on that I'm not walking in peace right now? It could be in a relationship. It could be at work. It could be when you look at your bank account. It could be when you're talking with your children, whatever. So when I have those things that are opposite of peace, I stop right then and say, Lord, what is it that I need to understand here? What do I need help here in understanding? To allow his peace to govern my heart, amen? To govern my heart. And these, regardless of what's going on in the world right now, first and foremost, I'm going to have his peace governing my heart. Regardless of who's governing this nation. Peace in my heart, Father. Peace in my heart, Father God. Verse 2, through whom also we have access. This is wonderful. These are wonderful scriptures. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Faith justified us. There's that word again. Faith justified us, and it also has given us access into this grace. You guys know what grace means, right? Access into this grace. We've been justified by faith, and because we've been justified, we have access to grace. How about you guys? I love grace. Grace, grace, grace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This, what is he not ashamed of? The gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. Grace meaning divine influence on the heart. Thank you for divine influence. That's that one part where he says, I'll write their law, my law in their hearts. That's through grace. Stamping that, writing that, putting that in our hearts, where the Holy Spirit directs us from within, amen? Not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts. Not by circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart, amen? A changed heart. That's part of grace, amen, grace. Divine influence on the heart. Benefits, what are the benefits of grace? The benefits, we'll talk a little bit later if we get there tonight that we are joint heirs, children of Abraham, amen? The blessings of Abraham on our lives. But what are the benefits of his grace? We know that healing, how about healing? In the name of Jesus Christ, healing on our bodies. Amen. Healing. Healing in the soul realm. They're called, today we call them traumas, childhood traumas. Traumas that can happen to people through their lives that can cripple them emotionally and mentally. God shed his blood, took those whips on his back, the stripes on his back for those wounds. Amen. That's part of the benefits. Amen. How about his supplying all our needs according to his riches and glory? Amen. Is that part of the benefits? Absolutely. I believe that part of it is definitely prosperity. I believe in prosperity. His prosperity in my life. giving him the glory, him the one opening the doors, him the one that putting the things in my path for provision for me, my family, and for blessing others and blessing my church. Amen? Don't want to forget our church, right, Mark? You see, if you sit in the first two rows, you're open game. The benefits, the favor. How about his favor on our lives? Father, thank you for your favor on our life. Thinking about that, even when we're in the middle of any type of struggle, we've got to, this is part of maturity. Thank you, I have your favor. Thank you, I have your favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are leading me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're guiding me. Thank you, Father God, that I am your child. Thank you, Father God, that I am accepted. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love me. Like Andrew Womack likes to say, he says, God has my picture on his mantle. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. Amen. I'm believing it more and more and more as I continue to hear it. As when the process started for me, it's like, I don't know what I was doing before God, but it's not working. So becoming open, if your heart's resisting this, or if you're feeling confused, you can't go wrong by believing that he loves you. You can't go wrong that he nailed all your sins to the cross. There's nothing you can do to be more accepted than you are by his blood. But you don't know what I did. Well, those are all washed under the blood. That's why he shed his blood, amen? I love the Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast out seven demons. She probably had a rough life, would you say so? Seriously. But she was maybe definitely the woman, but nobody loved Jesus more when he was on this earth than probably Mary Magdalene. Her background, he who been forgiven much, loves much, right? So regardless of your past, what you're dealing with now, you are his child. Amen. Joint heirs with Christ in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Favor, gift. Also means gift. We have the gift of salvation. I think of the scripture, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, and who there's no shifting shadows. He's got no agenda. Amen. God has no agenda. He has our best on his mind. People will sometimes say, it's too good to be true, God. They'll wait for the other shoe to drop. With God, there's no other shoe to drop. Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. I don't know about you, but I receive every good and perfect gift. Lord, whatever you want to give us in individual lives. Lord, we're open. We freely, in humility, Lord, say, Father God, we need you. We need your strength. Amen? Lord, we need your presence. And we love your gifts. Think of all the gifts, not just the gifts of the Spirit, huh? The things he places in our lives for purpose as he grows us up in him. The gifts of provision, the gift of the Holy Spirit, amen? The gift of joy, peace, those things that he's given us the gift. We're talking about what does grace mean? Unmerited favor, right? Another one part of that is joy. We know that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Those things that the Holy Spirit, as we mature, they'll start to become more and more part of our lives, amen? Amen. Thank you, Father God, for the fruits of the Spirit that help us to walk in that maturity and that strength and that confidence, overcomers over anything the devil tries to trip us up with. Amen. Thank you, Father God, to strengthen us in those areas. We're talking about what does grace mean? Joy. Liberality. Amen. Another one's liberality. Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. One of those meaning liberty. The other one's pleasure, joy, peace, pleasure. Pleasure in life. Is it okay as Christians to have some pleasure in life? We know that it says in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, Jesus said, because I've overcome the world. It's okay to have joy, peace, to exhibit that to the world, where they say, hey, I would like what you have. Well, let me introduce you to the gospel of grace. Amen. pleasure, worthy. It says worthy. He has made us worthy strictly by the blood. God gave his very best. Even when I was a sinner, God gave his very best from heaven, his one and only begotten Son, so that you and I could be sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen. Can't wait to see him. I know there's things he wants us to do here, but I have to say, I can't wait to see his face. I love my Heavenly Father. I don't have any angst in me about when I see him at all. I can't wait to see him. When you have an angst about seeing his face, something's not quite right. It's probably as far as you're believing of what he thinks of you. Amen? We don't jump in and out of salvation. We are born again, children of the King, children of the Most High, joint heirs with Christ. Amen? I don't care what struggles you have. If you are justified by faith alone. And you qualify for his benefits. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, his long suffering towards us. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be bashful. I don't want to be ashamed about the gospel of grace. I just need to proclaim it. I can't explain it. You've heard Pastor Lee say, don't explain it, proclaim it. And let the Holy Spirit do its work, amen? In each heart. Something about it hits the mark when you'll think you'll be declaring something. You don't know how the heart's receiving it. Like this man that I spoke to, where he opened up to me, said these things, simply by hearing the gospel of grace. Amen. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now you're saying, oh man, Chad, you were on such a good roll. Now you got to talk about tribulation. But you know, if you're old enough, you already know all about this. You've already been through some difficult times. You've already had some struggles. You've already experienced some heartaches. But here you are, yet you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, amen? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I think about tribulation, the Greek is pressure, afflicted, burden, persecution. When you stand up for Christ, we've seen people, even this nation now, being persecuted for standing up for Christ. Amen? Burden, afflicted. Those things that we have in life, regardless if you know Jesus or not, things that come against us in life that buffet against us. Amen? Who brings tribulation, pressure, persecution? It is our adversary. It is the world, and it's just day-to-day life. It is not God. I've heard people saying God has brought, I've had to go through this hardship to prove something to God. That's not what God is about at all. Not at all. In this world, he says you'll have trouble. We don't need God. I mean, just living in this world is enough trouble in itself. Amen? We don't need God adding anything. The adversary, the enemy going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have the enemy, the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age coming against us. It doesn't say anywhere that God brought this tribulation on them. But let me always say this. We don't let struggles hold us back. I like 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient. Man, his grace is all powerful. When you think his grace is sufficient, are you thinking, well, it'll just squeak me by this struggle. It'll just barely get me by. Maybe I'll make it out the other side. But his grace is sufficient, amen? It's more than enough. For power is perfected in weakness. You ever had any weaknesses? That's okay. His power is perfected in those. Trust him in those weaknesses, amen? Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Trusting him. In our struggles, that means trusting him, amen? If we don't trust in him, then we're left to our own device to figure it out. When you're immature in Christ, that's what you do. But as you go through, when you start finding out those, that doesn't work, that doesn't get you past that struggle, or you keep repeating that, as you start maturing, you say, ah, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm weak in this. I can't get past this struggle myself, but I'll trust you. Your power will get me through this. Amen? Boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weaknesses, insults, and distresses, and persecutions, and difficulties, in behalf of Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me just say that these things that they're talking about, or let me read verse 4. I'm going to go to verse 4, Bill. And perseverance. So it said in verse 3 that says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Verse 4 says, and perseverance produces what? Character, and character, hope. So these things, it's talking about the walking through these things, coming into maturity. Amen? Coming into maturity, meaning not giving up, relying on him. Paul saying, look, I know that when I'm overcoming these things, I'm growing. Character says, my character means, that means maturity. I'm coming into maturity, Lord, as you show yourself faithfulness through every distress, every trouble, as you show me that you're going to get me through it with your power, Father God. That actually gives me confidence knowing I can overcome anything through him who dwells in me. You think about it, even when the struggles of a child learning how to walk, right, and dress themselves, going into maturity, riding a bicycle, just growing up, just the things that you have to overcome, that you have to overcome to grow up. You've got to be potty trained to grow up. And you got to know how to ride a bicycle to have fun, I suppose. So that part of the thing about maturity, that there's a deep satisfaction. When we think about things that might come against us, we're like, oh, the flesh says, oh, I just want everything. Right? No struggles. We're going to have struggles. But he's saying, hey, be confident, because as God moves you through these struggles, you become more mature, and then your character grows, then your hope and your confidence grows. It's just the way it is. Father, we thank you that we're maturing in you as a body, as a believer, that you're showing us that we can overcome anything, anything. That's why Paul said, in my weaknesses, man, I'm just knowing that God is going to show up. God is the one that's going to deliver me. God is the one that's going to get me through it. God's the one that's going to show me that his power, his grace is sufficient. So those things that come against us, take a deep breath and say, thank you, Lord, you got this. I'm trusting you. You're not going to forsake me. I'm not giving up. We're not giving up, right? We're not giving up. That's what Satan wants. Give it up. Give it up. But we're not giving up. Amen? Because he will see us through to the other side. He will mature us. You know, as he matures us, that's when he can open up things unto us, regardless of our age. Maturity allows the Lord to trust us with more gifts, more abilities, more open doors. Amen? He doesn't want to release things that we're not mature enough for in our lives, because it'll wreck us. So thank you for maturity. Maturity brings responsibility. Maturity opens doors. Maturity allows giftings to rise up in our lives. Amen? We thank you for maturity. So talking about these tribulations, amen, God, you got it. I'm not giving up or giving in. May be hard sometimes, but if I trust you, I will come out to the other side. When you're in the middle of a battle, sometimes it's like, this is never going to end. How is this going to work itself out? I've thought of different situations. You've been in different situations where it's like, how is this going to work itself out? It's amazing when we trust God, it will work out. Amen? All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Man, we got some people with purpose in here, don't we? Amen. Amen and amen. Do not let the struggle hold you back. Verse 4 says, in perseverance, character, and character, hope. Verse 5, Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You and I can mature in the Lord because His Spirit has been poured out in our lives. Amen? Trusting Him. The just shall live by feelings. The just shall live by faith. That was one of the biggest revelations to me. Not allowing my feelings, whether it's anger, sadness, fear, not letting those things dictate my life. The just shall live by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Religion says that you have to do this or do that to come into maturity. That's not true. It's trusting Him that brings you into maturity. Trusting Him. It's not a list of do's and don'ts that you have to perform. It is literally just trusting Him as he works in our lives. Colossians 2:23. Following the rules won't help you mature. I think of Colossians 2:23, and it says, "Now, these are matters which do have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Amen. It seems like if you could put whatever religious things, it could be fasting. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fasting, but I'm telling you, fasting is not going to cleanse a soul of sin. Only His blood will. Only His Spirit will. Only His grace will. And so religion saying severe treatment of the body somehow is going to make you more godly is an absolute lie. It does not do anything with the power of sin in one's life. Religion says you have to do this or do that to mature, but that's not true. You know, fear can cripple a person, keep them from maturing in the Lord or from pursuing a God-given desire or dream. We know that Scripture, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So the fear that would come against us is definitely not of God. So it comes from the enemy. Something that sometimes people are raised with, something that's learned, that's just such a part of them, that fear seems to be there. But God has given us what? A spirit of power and a sound mind. Amen? Amen. Fear. What do we do when we struggle with fear? That's where faith can, right? Fear not, for I'm with you. Some of those things are also just, Lord, helping us to mature out of that. You think of children, the things that you were fearful of when you were a child. You're not fearful of now. Most of us aren't afraid of the dark now, right? Most of us are not. Okay. So you still have the hall light on, okay? But you're getting there. But, you know, one thing, too, as far as fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So as we're maturing and growing in Him, those fears will not have a power over us. Those are another maturity thing, growing in Him, trusting Him, amen? Because of what He's given us. It's just that what's in Him and given us needs to start coming, permeating out into our souls and our mind, amen. Verse 6, and we're going to move on. For when we were still without strength, this, we were singing a song earlier, strength like no other. Amen? And it's funny how here it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I, right? He died for us, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And gave us strength. Much more than having now been justified. There's that word again, justified. By what? By His blood. Thank you, Lord. We're justified by Your blood alone. Taking the law, taking the rules and regulations and nailing them to the cross. Amen? Justifying us by His blood. Amen. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. There's definitely a day of wrath coming. But you and I are passed from death unto life because we have put our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It seems so simple when we talk about it. You know, we're saved by faith, you know, through grace. But you think of the world, they think that's foolishness, don't they? That's foolishness. But it's the only way. The only way to not experience God's wrath, coming wrath, is through Jesus Christ. Amen? Only by grace. Only by faith. Only by trust. Putting our hope in Him. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that I am not going to experience His wrath. How about you? What makes you feel good? It's nothing like in the old days when I thought, good Lord, if I just make it to heaven, by the skin of my teeth, somehow, some way. But God wants us to have confidence. Man, we are going to experience His joy. We're going to experience eternal life. We're going to say, well done. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into everlasting life. Amen? There'll be those that will definitely go to the eternal destruction, but those that are saved by grace shall not experience death. Amen. When you realize that, that's that anchor of hope in your soul. It's what keeps you motivated during the day. It's the thing that's saying, I've got just a little bit of time on this earth. You think of a timeline. I like looking this in my mind. A timeline of 1,000,000 years. And saw my, and if I, could I even see my 100 years on this earth? I want to make it count. Grace says, I'm going to make my time on here on earth count by what you place in me for desire. Not by trying to do something to please you in any way, shape, or form, but because of what you placed in me, because you saved me by grace. How can I help but not want to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. It comes from a desire in your heart instead of saying, oh, I better do something. And then 5 years, 6 years, 3 years, 10 years, being burnt out, done, finished, for simply not doing it for the right reason. Thank you, Lord, that He's teaching us to do things for the right reason. Amen? Amen, Lord. Those things that you place within us. Colossians 3, 5, and 6 says, talking about the wrath of God is coming. Colossians 3, 5, and 6. Therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We can have struggles still, right? But we're not sons and daughters of disobedience. This sons and daughters of disobedience say, I don't care. That stuff you're talking about is foolishness. I don't want anything to do with that. They mock that. But there's coming a day, it's sad, but there's coming a day where people are going to wish they had listened. Paul said that. He said, man, for my kindred, I would give my own soul that they might be saved. That they might come to the knowledge of the cross. Aren't you glad that you've come to the knowledge? Oh, aren't you so glad that you opened your eyes to the truth? Aren't you glad that you continue to pull in His goodness, His grace, what He's teaching you? That it becomes like fresh water to your soul and you start saying, give me more. The word becoming like honey is what David said. And it's one thing, you can eat a steak and you get full, but when you start getting a taste of God, you can't get enough. You never get full. You're satisfied, but you say, give me more, Lord. Give me more. I want to know more about you, Father God. I want more of your grace, Father God. I want more of your wisdom, Father God. I want more of your purposes. Amen. Who are the enemies of God? Anyway, talk about the sons of disobedience. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. Philippians 3, 18 and 19, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even as I weep, this is Paul, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who have their minds on earthly things. So they're just thinking about the now, here, they're not born again, they're not regenerated. So that's not talking about you and I, amen? It's not talking about those who may struggle. If you're born again, if you believe in Him being crucified for you, you can rest. You can rest in confidence that you belong to Him. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. Verse 10, Bill. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Amen. Reconciliation, made right with God. Let's read down a few more scriptures. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, that's Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. All are under sin. When Adam fell, all were born in sin. Verse 13, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there was no law. But now when there's a law, it's imputed. You know what's right and what's wrong. You have no excuse. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, meaning no matter how righteous they were, how good of a boy or girl they were still under the power of sin. Adam, who is a type of Him who was to come. So who was Him to come? He's talking about Jesus. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. Well, who committed that offense first? Adam, right? For if by the one man's offense many died, that's Adam's offense, much more the grace of God and the gift. Let that sink in. The gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Amen. Thank you for that gift, Father God. Thank you for that gift. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came through the one offense resulted in condemnation. All after Adam were condemned in sin. But the free gift, amen, the free gift. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So all the sin of the world, all the things that have been done, all the things that you and I have done, because He was nailed on a cross, we have been justified 100%. For if by the one man's offense death reigned, verse 17, through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, amen, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Amen. We will reign through Jesus Christ. So when we're talking about, what is we talking about when we'll reign? We'll reign in this life. You know, you and I are called to reign in this life. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? We're called to reign in this life. Let me explain this, the blessing and curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are you familiar with those? See, through the blessing reign said, we receive God's abundant provision, God's forgiveness by the cross. We don't stand in judgment of others. We've been set free from judging others. Amen. And under the blessing of Abraham, we have been released unto His grace and His provision. Let me put it this way, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? From the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through. You think of Deuteronomy 28, one time. Years ago, I started reading about the blessings and curses. And I recognized a lot of those curses on my life. And I started, that's when God started to open up my mind about the gospel of grace, or slowly. I said, if I am experiencing these curses, why is it that I can't experience the blessings? God wants us to experience the blessings of Abraham. I'm telling you, when people experience the cursings, it's because they are still living under the law. God has redeemed us from the law. If you're still experiencing anything, so the depression, God brings us out of depression, poverty, anxiety. God has delivered us from those things, that we wouldn't walk in those things, because he's delivered us from the curse of the law, that we might walk in the what? In the blessings of Abraham. Amen? What was Abraham? He made mistakes, but did God provide all his needs? Was he rich? Amen. Was he? Did God give him victory over his enemies? Who are the enemies that we face now? Well, Satan. So God given us that he's called, it says, hey, to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the enemy. Amen. So it says that God has called us to reign in life. Let me just, as we close, let me just read that scripture again. Many of you know this scripture. Verse 17, I'm going to read it. Bill, thank you. For as by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, Adam. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you tonight that you've called us to reign in. If you're in a place where you're saying, Lord, what direction or what do you want me to do? So, I don't know. Maybe you're just saying, Lord, there's a path I feel like you want me to take, or there's something new you want for me. Just trust him. Just trust, believe that one thing, he's called you to reign in life. Amen. Trust his grace. Trust that he'll speak to you, to lead you on that path in your life. If you're right now saying, Lord, what path do I take? What do I do? What do you want me to do? You can trust him that he'll speak to you. Might be in your car. It might be in at night in a dream. Amen. And it might be when you're sitting in church during the worship time. You'll get little glimpses of what God wants you to do or what God's purpose for your life is. And those little purposes, those little glimpses that you see, that's that you can walk those things out as God matures you, as he strengthens you. You can be assured that he will bring those things about. Amen. Those purposes will come about. They'll be fulfilled. God made us to reign in life. I love saying this. You've already heard it. He didn't call us to cope. He's called us to conquer. Father, we thank you that we move from coping because of your death, burial, and resurrection. That you, Father God, you called us to reign. Father, thank you for healing places in our hearts in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for giving us confidence for purposes in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for allowing us not to hold resentment or unforgiveness from people in our past in Jesus' name. Those things that want to tether and hold us back, Father God, we release those in Jesus' name. You'll find as you do that, you'll sense a liberation in your life, a liberty in your life, a liberty in your heart. And you can't move forward until you have liberty. But the good thing is he's called us to liberty. Amen. It's simply trusting him. It's simply giving those things that we struggle with to him. Say, thank you, Jesus, I give this to you. Thank you, Jesus, I give this to you. Thank you, Jesus, I give this to you. You'll make a way out in Jesus' name. Out from bondage, through the Red Sea, and into the promised land. Father, we thank you for doing that tonight in our hearts. How we love you, how we bless you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.